Well, welcome to At the Movies. Every week we talk about a new release Blu-ray or DVD and kind of extract something that we can learn from scripture and from life. And so this week we're talking, I think this is probably, I could safely say, the first time it's been a movie about a mop, but this is actually based on a true story. Joy Mangano actually did invent a mop. I'm holding it in my hands. I bought it at Bed Bath & Beyond for $19.95. I'm actually going to try it out now, so thanks Mitch and crew for actually miking up the mop bucket, which I believe is also a first, although I can't remember. We've done a lot of strange things here. So let's try this out and see if it actually works as Joy designed it, where you can actually mop and wring the mop without touching the business end of the mop. I'm like, I don't even know what that's called because I don't mop much, but I have made a lot of spills up here over the years, so I think this is going to be valuable.
Oh, that's awesome. Sometimes my job is just too fun. Oh, listen, that's great. See if it works. Yeah. And yes, I do have a lot of spills up here, so that actually does work quite nicely. But yeah, this is an amazing story, actually. I was captivated by this movie, and if you watched it, I think the first hour I wanted to, like, I don't know, jump off a bridge or something. It was so depressing, and I was like, why are we doing this? You know, I heard this was good, but it is actually, I think, such a great payoff, and especially when you understand that this is a true story. There's a clip we just saw that Joy Mangano one day thought of this idea. She'd always been sort of inventive, but she actually was a divorced mother of three. In the movie, it shows two, but she actually had three kids. And yes, her husband was sort of this failing musician who still lived in her basement, and her dad lived with her, and her mom lived with her. Now, her mom was not quite, I was reading up on the actual story, and I will tell you, the sister in the movie that's so difficult, actually, she doesn't have a sister, and her mom was not sort of addicted to soap operas. But other than that, this story is a true story. And there's some liberties taken and some fun in this film, but it's basically the true story of a single mom who in 1989 mortgaged her home and borrowed over $100,000 from her friends for this single idea. And she actually did start building this mop, and we didn't measure whether there's 300 continuous feet of cotton in it, but I would guess probably so. And it actually works exactly like the movie showed. And over the years on Home Shopping Network and QVC, she sold over 200 million of these things. It's amazing. I was like, that's like a mop for every other, I don't know, like every second, two out of three people own this mop, I guess. I don't know. It's just amazing to realize, like, this story is real and it absolutely changed her life. And if you're wondering, she's made over $50 million off this one idea so far. But I was thinking about this film, that most of the early film that we watched is just sort of Joy trying to get others to see the mop. Not that you can't see this mop. I chose the fuchsia. I don't know if I have a, maybe I'll be great on HSN someday. I don't know, but this is the fuchsia color. I thought it would show up well under the lights, and it was the closest thing to our colors. The other one was purple, which I'm not real fond of. But she was just trying to get her family to see, and her friends and investors and potential buyers, this idea that she had, this idea that there was a better way to mop. And I'm fascinated. One reason I love this film is I'm just fascinated with inventors and entrepreneurs. Not like the guy who invented Big Mouth Billy Bass that hangs on the wall. And yeah, he probably made millions, but it really doesn't help anyone. No offense to you who have bought it. But this idea, like, someone could think of a better way of mopping and make bajillions of dollars and help hundreds of people. And she's actually employed thousands of people with her ideas. But the biggest part of the story at first is just she has this idea and she draws it in crayons and she makes a prototype. But even later, even after she actually has a working model, like just kind of
demonstrating it to people and going, can you see how this would be better, just like I showed you this morning? So that's part of it. And then there's also just the developing the mop part of the story, where she goes through trying to find ways to manufacture it and to get the parts made, and kind of this idea. It wasn't just an idea of a mop that would ring out without touching. I mean, there's been different versions of that, but this idea of one continuous loop and how she worked on that project and that product. And it's an interesting, I love that part of just thinking about how it wasn't just thinking of the idea or seeing something that others couldn't see. There's just so much work and effort and calories burned and nights spent, you know, trying to develop it into something that would actually work. And then there's, I like that Mitch called her a mop salesman. I guess you can call a billionaire a mop salesman. I like that. But yeah, there's a lot of selling in this story. The story that's so captivating, and this part is true. Like, she started out, like, this idea she would build, she borrowed a bunch of money, and she had her family invest and mortgage her house and all these things. And she thought, well, I'll just build these, kind of like the Kevin Costner, if you build it, they will come model. Doesn't work, obviously, because she built a lot of them and took them around to the stores, and they're like, nope, sorry, no can do, can't sell that, it's too expensive, people aren't going to understand it. Then there's a time she literally would go to parking lots outside of like Kmart and sort of lay down a vinyl floor and try to sell this mop out of the trunk of her car, you know, and so it's interesting. And then larger sales calls where she's trying to sell to like buyers for department stores, and finally for Home Shopping Network and QVC before that. But there's a lot of selling, this idea like, I have this product, I believe in this product, I've designed this product, but it's different. It's not something that anyone's seen before. It's a different answer to an old problem of like, how do you mop your floor without getting your hands in the dirty mop water? And so there's a lot of, and then there's another part, which is a big part of the story, which is protecting the mop. Now, I pulled this screenshot out from the film. She really never takes a shotgun out and protects the mop, but it's awesome looking. Katniss, way to go. But anyway, I was thinking, like, there's a lot of this story that is just about protecting the mop. You know, like, literally, and the most frustrating part, it wasn't just from outsiders. Like, there's a portion of this story in, you know, Joy Mangano's life, and it's true that someone tried to rob her, you know, someone, a patent troll came along and took part of her profits, and then the guy that was building the molds for this mop actually did make his own set of molds, basically, and so he's overcharging her and stealing her design and selling it out the back door at the same time, and she really did have to kind of go to the factory and go, wait, what's going, I mean, that is true. And then there's the part that's really upsetting, honestly, I think this is one of the most upsetting parts of the film, but appears to be true from reading her story. Her family was horrible during this most of the time. You know, it was like, yes, they invested in her, but her father especially, like, he was so funny because, and this appears to be true from the real story of Joy, like, when things are going great, he's like, yeah, that's my kid, you know? And immediately when things would go wrong, he's like, I didn't think of it, that's just business. And they literally gave her the worst advice, and they were sort of happy when she was making money, but whenever they lost money, they were like the first ones trying to collect from her. So it seems to me from her story that protecting the mop wasn't just against sort of outside people that were could have killed this whole project and her dream with it, but also people inside her family were extremely difficult to deal with in this story. And here's the truth, just from like life, is that studies show that 1 in 5,000 ideas actually become a product. Now, that sounds like long odds, but it's really not the true story, because 1 in 5,000 patents, things that people think of that are different, that are truly different and patentable, not somebody else's idea, but a new invention, 1 in 5,000 become products. And probably 1 in 5,000 of those actually become viable products. Like, there's a lot of products that sort of end up at Ollie's that don't last. And so it's just a sort of infinitesimal number of products that, and ideas that actually become products that people buy. And so you walk down the aisles of Walmart or Target, and you look around, and you go, there's a lot of products in their inventory. But think, just exponentially how many ideas have been passed over. Some of them didn't work, some of them worked and never got off the ground, but this idea that 1 in 5,000 patents become a product and so many fewer actually become products that live on, you realize that this is a story about a very striking event in history, that this one woman would be able to think of something as simple, I mean, as a mop. And I realize, like, as I'm telling you, like, how rare it is that that happens and what an amazing deal it is. Every one of us is thinking this. I could have totally thought of that, right? Like, I thought of that. I was like, I think I did that. You know, we have convinced ourselves immediately. I don't know about you. Like, I have friends like this, and I do it sometimes. I'm like, I swear I thought of that, like, a long time ago. I knew that was good. You know, we all do that, and we all sort of go, well, I could have thought of that mop idea and made $1 billion. Why didn't I just... And that's the truth, isn't it? That's the truth. Like, it's a good idea. But it's literally amazing that I'm holding one in my hand this morning, and not just because I'm a preacher standing here with a mop. That could happen at Action Church any week. And truthfully, I might institute using the mop every week because I really have spilled a lot of gross stuff up here. But here's the thing I was thinking, like, most people don't see the mop at first. I mean, I know you see it. It's a pretty fuchsia mop. But, like, most people never get that idea, right? No, most people never sort of go, oh, I know what to do. You know, like, there's a better way of mopping, like Joy did. So truthfully, even though we sort of all think we could, we don't. We somehow, like, think about the millions and millions, hundreds of millions of people who've sort of mopped their floor and never thought of what Joy did. Or if they did, maybe they did. Maybe some people saw it just like you. But if they did, they gave up quickly, right? Like, at a certain point, they thought of this idea. Maybe Joy wasn't the only one who thought of it. But when times got tough, you know, like, they went to their first family member and go, I got this idea. And maybe they even took the time to draw it. Probably not. Like, most of us just have an idea, and we never get it to the stage where we ever write it down or draw it. But if they did, they gave up because they didn't bring it to market, right? I had an interesting thing happen years ago when we first started Action Church. We started at Fat Daddy's Nightclub. And I thought, well, I must have thought of that because no one else would be stupid enough to do that thing, to start a church of fat. But I literally, we were at a restaurant and another pastor in town came up to me that I had heard of and, you know, knew, and said, I had that same idea. Like, I literally was going to start a church in Fat Daddy's Nightclub, and somebody talked me out of it, and he told me the story. And I was like, the thought I had when he said that was, maybe you were right. But number two was like, well, yeah, maybe lots of people had that idea, but they didn't follow through because a lot of people just give up that first time. People go, well, that's a crazy idea. And same thing with this mop. I'm sure other people maybe thought of something similar, but they didn't follow through. And truthfully, sometimes, probably a lot of times, right? Like, there's probably people who set out to make a product, or they had an idea, or they, you know, they were entrepreneurial. They thought of, like, I'm going to start this business, or I'm going to start this company, or I have a better way of doing this. And maybe it would be amazing. But truthfully, one thing that was just so sort of obvious about this movie, Joy, right, was her family was nuts. They were as crazy as my family and your family and maybe worse. I don't know. And her real life story is just that. She literally, and she still works with her ex-husband, which is hilarious. Like, they were good, became business partners after a while. But, like, everyone in her family, sort of, she is the sort of the most responsible person in a very, very dysfunctional family. So with three kids and a mom who lives with her and a dad, and her grandmother died truly in this story, and her husband's in and out of this, and, like, there's a thousand reasons when you look around her house, like, why she shouldn't start this amazing company and develop this idea and put up with that on top of working two jobs. She worked as an airline receptionist, and she did the books at her dad's garage. And so, but the truth is, if just one person gets it, like, one person. Like Joy, I mean, we know that happened because I'm holding this mop in my hand. It's not some story that's made up in Hollywood. It actually happened. Like, one person sort of got that inside of her and that idea and actually pushed through and changed everything for her and her family and her community and the people who work for her. And actually, we believe that Joy actually changed the way we buy products, because she was the first person, as we'll see later, to kind of go on as herself and sell her product on TV. It's interesting, sort of the changes. Now, the reason why I would talk to you about it, church, and I think it's worth talking about just because there's things to learn from this, but it reminds me of a very familiar story that Jesus told. And it's a story that I talk about a lot because it deals with one of the toughest realities that we have inside of Christianity. This idea, I'll just let Jesus sort of lay it out for us. And it's a story, it's a quick story, and I'll read it to you, and you've probably heard it if you've been in church, and it's about a guy who sows some seed in a field. It says, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. And a large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. He actually got into the boat, not to get away from them, but they would actually pull away from the shore because the crowd would just sort of crush him against the lake shore, and he would set out in a boat to sort of separate himself out. But also interesting to know, like, if you wanted to effectively speak to a large crowd without a, you know, sound system, which they didn't have, a great way to do that would be on a lake with people on a surrounding hillside, and pretty sure Jesus knew that. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, it says he told many stories in the form of parables, which are just stories with a point, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. And other seeds, they fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. And the seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. And other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And if you're thinking right now, well, like, wow, Jesus, that's a great story about a farmer, but I don't get it, don't feel bad. Because his followers said the same thing. Literally, his disciples pulled him aside later and went, what was that whole farming story? We don't get it. And so Jesus lays out the story. And what he says is pretty shocking when it deals with this idea of who is a Christian, who is a follower, and who sort of makes it to the end with him. And he told him these words, and I'm going to read it to you. And Matthew 13, 18 through 23 says, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting the seeds. And understand, this is not the writer saying this, the explanation. This is Jesus actually talking to his disciples. It says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. So some people don't get it. And then the evil one comes and snatches the seed away that was planted in their hearts. And then he says, the seed that fell on the rocky soil, well, that represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long, and they fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. So what he's saying is there are people that get it and go, yes, this is for me. I'm a believer. But like we talked about, sort of people who are entrepreneurs, there's a lot of people who get that idea, and they're all excited, and then gets a little tough, and they leave. But he said there's others. There's others where the seed that fell among the swords represent those who hears God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. But the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as they planted. See how that story reminds me of, like, what it would be to be an entrepreneur. Like, so many people have these ideas, and so many people walk away quickly, or they don't even last at all. And then other people, they last for a little while, but you notice he said the joys or the pain of this life. Like, literally, good things happen. Like, you get a bass boat, and all of a sudden, you don't have time for that. Or, and I'm not against bass boats, I always just make that as an example, I don't know why, but like, something great happens, and you kind of get distracted away from it. Or, grandma dies, and you go, well, there's no time for this, because life is hard. And so that's what Jesus said. Jesus said that there would be a lot of people who would start out, not making a mop, but that would start out seeing the good news of the kingdom. People would go, oh, I get it. I actually see the people that would actually see that, oh, Jesus is the answer. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of sinners. But not all of them would make it to the end. That's a frightening and sad story, I think. And it's something that we just struggle with. And the reason why we struggle is because it's hard to know, like, what is it that would keep us going? Sort of the same question I have when I look, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about this story of joy. Like, what was it that made her continue? You know, because a lot of times you would say, and I would say, well, money, you know, like if you're an inventor, it'd be great to get money. And she was poor, and so I'm sure that motivated her. Well, that motivates you. Absolutely. I believe in the power of money. But guess what? There was a point where she's mortgaged, you know, $250,000 in debt and not making any money from this. And most of us, most sane people, would stop and go, this isn't working. But joy kept right on going. And you might say, well, she was a mother and she saw a future for her family. Well, yes, she did. And that is a great motivator. But like, there's something weird that happens because literally it made her family life so much worse. It literally hurt everyone in her family at first, and she kept on going. And I don't know, there's a bunch of motivators we could think of. Like, I was thinking through this week, like fame, you know, maybe she wanted to be someone. Well, yeah, but when she became the laughing stock of her town and is selling mops out of the sort of the back of her car, that sort of cures you of that. And ambition, same thing. Like, all of a sudden this idea made it almost impossible to get a job or keep a job because everyone thought she was crazy at that point. So what is it? And the same thing for the kingdom, same thing for like being a follower of Christ. Like, on one hand we go, well, I need peace, so people pray and go, well, I need Jesus in my heart to get peace. But what happens when Jesus doesn't make you peaceful, when you find out that following Jesus actually brings strife and trouble in your family, when you realize that, like, I need prayers answered, so I'll become a Christian, and you realize, like, the prayers that you really want him to say yes to, he says no to. Like, what is it that keeps you going when any sane person would quit? And I don't know what you would answer that question with, but I've come to this conclusion that it's a word we don't like to talk about. In fact, it's sort of a dirty word in America. Not that word. It's a different word. It's a word that we don't like to, it's this word, conviction. It's this word that means a strongly held belief. Something that you don't back away from, even when it doesn't seem to help you. Even when people go, well, that's stupid or silly, or you're not open-minded, or you're a bigot, or you're not progressive. All of the things that, like, people would say about joy, like, that's ridiculous, stop it. She had this conviction that this mop is a better way, and if I'll just stick with it. Now, here's the thing about At the Movies. Like, and I'm trying to edit myself and be pretty brief here, because I'm going to show you a clip that's longer than I ever show. And I realize, like, most of you may have not seen this movie. But the great thing about using movie clips, and the reason why we continue to do this, is they spent like $75 million to make this movie to make you feel something. And I could talk for the next 9 minutes and, I don't know, maybe bore you, or hopefully maybe at least help you understand conviction, but I couldn't make you feel what conviction is. I want to show you. This is a sort of the best picture of what it means to have conviction. And it comes in a moment in Joy's life when everything is just sort of gone to hell in a mop bucket. That's the only thing I can think of. Like, everything's horrible. She's mortgages money. She got this huge order from QVC, and she's so excited about it. And they put the guy on with her mop and her family. Imagine, like, her whole family's watching television. Like, this is going to be great. This is the moment when it finally pays off, and doesn't sell hardly at all. They sell hardly any. And I want you to see this. See, did you catch that? Joy Mangano said, this mop has totally changed my life. And that sounds like amazing BS, doesn't it? But it's true. It actually did. I want the band to come back up here, but it did change her life. At first, in a lot of bad ways, this idea she had, this better way to mop a floor, made her miserable, made her broke, put her in debt, caused trouble in her family, but eventually changed her life. And she's, I don't know if a real billionaire, but hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, I forgot to tell you the name of the mop, and this is just sort of too good to be true, but it's really called the Miracle Mop. And I can't think of a better name for it. Like, it really is a miracle to think about this mom of three, this divorced mom of three, who thinks of this one idea and it changes everything. And it's a simple problem, like mopping a floor without getting your hands in the dirty mop water. And the thing that sort of inspires me is the fact that as followers of Jesus, we have a much bigger answer to a much bigger problem, yet we find it difficult to sell in the world we live in. Because we have, as followers of Jesus, we have the answer to the sin problem, the problem that our Creator made humans, and then immediately we ran amok, and immediately we begin to ruin our lives, and immediately we begin to spin out of control and do things exactly opposite of the way intended. And the truth is, like, if there is no tomorrow, if we die and that's the end, why not? Why not just do whatever you want? But then a man named Jesus came along, and he was the Son. He was the Son of God. God sent him because he loved us so much. And he actually gave the ultimate sacrifice, gave his life, so we could see that, oh my goodness, if one person ever comes back, well, we'll know there's more, and there is more because Jesus is alive. And that's what all of Christianity is based on, this one idea. And here's what I did this week. And usually I leave you with a scripture at the end of my sermons. And the reason why it's not like I have some sort of box I need to check. It's just I think there's nothing more powerful than giving you some of the Word of God to take with you as you go. But I couldn't find one this week. Like, literally, I read dozens and dozens of scriptures about this idea of conviction, about this idea of faith when times are hard. And they would say, think, you know, you should have faith like Abraham, faith like Daniel, faith like Enoch, all of these great scriptures. But all they were really saying is, like, you need to be like that person. And so I thought, instead of just saying that, I'm going to tell you, be like Joy. Because you see what happened in that clip we just saw? Like, the thing that turned everything around and the reason why she was believable as she began to sell her product on Home Shopping Network is the fact that she saw it, she believed in the mop, but also she used it, she lived it out every day, and in the end, she was able to share it because of that. So I want to pray with you. But if you're wondering, like, how am I going to make it to the end? How am I going to be one of those people that push through to the end, even when times are hard, and am faithful to God to the end? Do I have conviction, or do I just have a good idea that I'll leave when times are tough? The only thing that I think makes the difference is, man, you're going to have to believe it. And that's, some people believe it, some people don't. That's the gift part. But then you got to live it out. And then you have to share it, and that's so freaking powerful. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we love you, and thank you for your sacrifice, and thank you that we do actually have the answer to this sin problem, to this mess that we call humanity, that there is a better way. But God, we struggle. We struggle with sort of living that out. Because some of us, we just don't see it. And I pray that everyone here, because they're here this morning, would eventually see it. But even if we see it, like, some of us turn away. You said we would. It's so sad. And some of us turn away later, like, things get really good or really hard, and we just walk away. But God, I pray that this room would be filled with people who would go through to the end, that would have conviction. And help us to do that every day as we love you and love people and we put it into action. In your name we pray, amen.